السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك، أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، واجعل تفرقنا بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ولا تدع فينا شقيا ولا محروما، اللهم امين. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to him, and peace and blessings be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who is guided by the will of Allah, no one can misguide him, and he who is misguided, no one can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khayran for inviting me, and ask Allah to subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend his mercy upon every single person of us, inshallah, and not to let us leave this place until every one of us, inshallah, receive the full forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers and sisters, I have about 25, maybe to 30 minutes, more or less, to deliver a message. The journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it is together, to be covered, it needs tens, if not hundreds of hours. So with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I asked myself, what could be the most important things that is or that are stuck in my mind when I'm talking about the journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 23 years of performing, doing a job by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the commandment of Allah. So I came up with these three quick, simple conclusions, inshallah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let them of some benefit for all of us. The first one, the best thing that came to me, and I will tell you now why these things came to me, because of the context that we are sitting, we are in a school. And most of you, if not all of you, are parents of children who are in school. Now the first message that I would love to convey basically, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. You know the very famous incident between Aisha radiallahu anha and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she saw him praying. قَالَتْ لَيَاءُ قَدْ تَفَطَّرَتْ قَدَمَهَا. قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يعني بما معنى الكلام؟ لما تجهد نفسك أو لما تتعب نفسك وقد غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر يا رسول الله. عائشة رضي الله عنها says يا رسول الله, Allah has forgiven everything for you. As if she's using the main common sense that any one of us could be using. يا رسول الله, everything is completely covered. Your account is completely white, full. But why you are suffering? Why you are standing? Why you are praying? Why? قال أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا. Should I not be a thankful servant to Allah? Okay, Allah has forgiven. But my reaction, خلاص, okay, I'm forgiven, that's it. So the first value I will be highlighting, and I will connect it in a few minutes with the context of us today, is the value of thankfulness. The attitude of gratitude, okay? Keep it in your mind. Put it on the shelf now. Let's go to the second value. The second value that came to my mind is تحمل المسؤولية, holding the responsibility. What made the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم basically cries, not able to sleep? Sheikh Hussam Zalbakhir reminded us with Ya Yuhal Muzzammil قم الليلة إلا قليلة. But what's next? قم فا أنذر and وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين. Go and warn them بشيرا ونذيرا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to warn us and to give the glad tidings as well, good news and warning, because there is Jannah, Alhamdulillah. But we need to know that there is Jahannam as well. This is by the will of Allah. It's not just, Ya Sheikh, please be mutafa'il all the time. Just the money to Ya Ammi. It's not my decision. It's Allah's decision. Allah created the Jahannam as well. It's very beautiful to keep reminding the Jannah. to be optimistic, it's excellent. But 24/7, not mentioning the other possibility, without putting the balance, it's the decision of Allah. It's the design of the creation of Allah. He created this and this. And He warned us not to be from those, and He is encouraging us to be from those. So we have two values now. The value of holding the responsibility towards yourself and others, and the value of being thankfulness. Two values. Third point, then I will jump to another phase of my talk. Because by the way, let me just tell you something. Any speaker, if he's an academic, basically he will be facing a failure if he allowed himself to let his audience leaving the place where he's delivering a speech without having an adding value or added value when they leave. If someone asks any of you, what benefit did you get from the speech? If there is no answer with you, I will be a fashil. And ask Allah not to let me from those. We have to be leaving with something in you, in our minds and our hearts. The value of thankfulness. The value of holding the responsibility. Third message. Then we will wrap this package. I will move to another package. Third message. We are, what's the title of our gathering basically? What is it? Journey of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Traditionally, many of us, we say the most important thing in the memory of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to revive his sunnah. True or false? True or false? Most of the people, the first thing that will come to your mind basically, we need to do what we call Ihya Sunnah in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once this beautiful mention, this beautiful, let's say, word, or this beautiful concept is mentioned, what comes to our mind? Most of us, not all of us. What's the Sunnah of Prophet? When you drink, you have to drink when you sit. You have to take care of the beard, and you have to have the siwak, and you have to have shorts, jilbab, or for the men. And you have to do. So our mind are stuck to 5, 6, 7 things, which is superficial, which is part of the Sunnah. I'm not saying that part of the Sunnah. And we stop by this. Billahi alaykum, I ask you, billahi wa tallahi alaykum, when we mention the Sunnah of Prophet, how many of us, including myself, we remember that one of the most important thing of the Sunnah of the Prophet is ihqaq al-haq? How many times when the word Sunnah is mentioned, Nusratul Mazlum is in our mind as Sunnah? Supporting the one who's oppressed. Oh, Sheikh, but this is very political. No. We have a lot of mazlumin oppressed in our families. Sometimes maybe your brother or your sister is oppressed by your elder brother. Are you following this sunnah? Am I following the sunnah by protecting my younger sister from my elder brother? Do we face this as Arab communities or not? How many females in our societies might be losing the inheritance because of the mentality of some people in some Arab countries? And the elder, how many of elder brothers, they received a piece of land and the females, they were completely prohibited from having their rights. And when you come to the brother, Ya Sheikh, this is haqqullah, it's a right. Wallahi wasiyyat al-hajji, Allah yarhamu. You know this? Wasiyyat al-hajji? Subhanallah. You know my father, it's his wasiyya, his will, I can't. Ya Habib Mawlana. Now he wants now to fulfill the wasiyya. Khas wasiyyat al-hajji. The wasiyyat Allah. Rabbul al-hajji. What about it? You know this? The words of the sunnah. This is much more important than my beard and my dishdasha and my siwak. Don't use the siwak not even once in your life, but don't commit injustice. This is sunnah. I'm not talking politically, I'm talking we between us, relatives, brothers, sisters, fathers, husbands and wives. So I put here taikul. For example, Nusrat al-Da'if, Qawl al-Haq, Iqaf al-Ghulm, all of these things is part of the Sunnah. So the first package that I will stop with taking consideration of my time, basically, that please, let's not leave this place but remembering that we have a big, great values as part of the Sunnah. It's not just sticking to some simple, superficial things with the two first values. Next phase of my talk now. طيب. We are in the memory of remembering Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Simple question that should be highlighted and must be highlighted. What was the job of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم basically? Why Allah sent Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? He sent him basically to be a role model, Qudwa. True or false? Qudwa and what? Qudwa, Uswa, role model in what satisfies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. between two brackets, Allah's law. Allah has decided that some certain things should be done, some certain things should not be done. Some certain things are lawful, allowed, legal. Some certain things illegal, not allowed, haram. Some certain things are recommended, some certain things are not recommended. Simply, Prophet Muhammad was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to apply these things practically, to be a role model, to follow his footsteps. This was the job. So therefore, once he left sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the role model of those who were given the barakah and the blessings by being his followers, simply to do his job and to convey the message to everyone? Now let's come. Do you remember what was the first value? What was the first value? Thankfulness. Like, look now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will relate now thankfulness with our job today, that we need to live with it. Ya ikhwa ya akhwat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, we don't know the number of the messengers and prophets. They could be tens of thousands. Allah mentioned by proper names 25. But he said, وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Some narrations, not very highly authentic, but it contains some kind of good authenticity. It talks about 124,000 prophets and messengers. We know just 25 of them. All of these prophets, we know just about simple books, the Zabur of Dawood. We know about Suhuf Ibrahim. We know about the Torah of Moses. We know about the Injil or the Gospel of Isa. And we have the Quran. Now the first thing that should you feel proud, and then you must be thankful, that the conclusion of all these scriptures, all these prophets, all the messages, it's completely, the cream of these things is the Quran. So Allah is giving you the final, you know, the very famous saying that Jews and Christians, or specifically Christians, they say they have in their Bible the Old Testament and the New Testament. What do we have? The last testament. Yes, you have to know it. You have to know it. All the new, last. So we have the last. The last testament, it's a bounty. It's hibah. It's ni'mah. It's blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created everything in this universe for us. So, is it for us just to feel happy and proud that Allah has given to us, or there's now, let's connect it with tahammul al-mas'uliyyah? We talked about أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Then we talked about خُمْفَ and connected with when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم by saying كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. He was sent to every single person of a human being up to the day of judgment. We are the representative of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So our duty and our job, to be thankful for the fact that we were chosen, plus we must hold the responsibility of representing him by applying his full sunnah with the full meaning, and to hold this beautiful message to every single person. Or otherwise, we might be committing the linguistic meaning. Be careful. I will repeat. We might be applying the linguistic meaning of kufr. You know what's the meaning of kufr linguistically? تغطية الشيء. Okay? When you go By the way, the word kafar in English, it came from kafara in Arabic. Kafara ghatta, to cover, yughatti. So English came from Arabic, by the way. By the way, I hold it in my this hand, a dictionary that contains 10,000 words. In English came from Arabic. Captain, qutan, schedule, jadwal, 10,000 words. You will be amazed to know at the time of the, anyway. So now I forgot the point. Yes. Now to kafara yughatti. Then it was used when I, what do you mean yughatti? Look, linguistically, now this mic is a reality. I covered it. Where's the mic? It does not exist. Where's the mic? It does not exist. I know it exists, but I covered, I denied, I rejected. That's why Sumir Kafir Kafir, which means he knows, he's sure, he feels, he's convinced, but no. Yes, Sheikh, didn't you feel it? Or otherwise, if Allah puts this person in Jahannam without this reality, حاشا لله سيكون الله ظالما. Because Allah knows that he or she knows and he's fully convinced, but denies and rejects. This is the linguistic meaning of kufr, okay? So we say, when we realize the qima, the value of the message for us, and we realize the value that Allah has given us, and we saw the role model of Muhammad, what he did, and we claim that we are proud that this is his sunnah and we not act upon it, we might be committing the linguistic concept of kufr, which means you are denying and rejecting, neglecting this bounty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صلى الله لا يجعل أحد منا من هؤلاء. Now let's connect this with our context. Why I'm mentioning all this? Just one simple. I will come across now part of what Sheikh Hussain جزاه الله خيرا said. This context is a school, and you are here because of your kids. Part of the greatest gifts of Allah سبحانه وتعالى when you are married and when you have kids. You are here because of your kids. You remember Anas? Let's connect with something. Two quick hadiths, then I will conclude the idea, I will finish, inshallah. Two hadiths, or one hadith with two narrations, I forgot, narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha, please try to focus on this. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان الأقرع بن حابس التميمي عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the companions from the Bedouins who live in the desert. You know, the people of the desert, they are a little bit more tough than the people of, you know, they have very hardship in their lives. So therefore, it's not easy to them to be lenient and soft and something. So it affects part of their culture. So this Arabi Bedouin Sahabi companion, he was in the presence of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فجاء الحسن أو الحسين فأخذه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقبله فقال له أتقبلون صبيانكم فإنا لا نقبلهم. So Prophet Muhammad, he was holding الحسن الحسين and then he kissed him as a very normal reaction by a grandfather or a father. The reaction of the Arabi, the Sahabi, he said, do you kiss your children? We do not kiss them. In a way, our way is we do not do this. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خط أحمر تحتها أو أملك لك أن نزع الله الرحمة من قلبك. قال what can I do for you if Allah has taken the mercy out of your heart? What can I do for you? Just not kissing his kid was judged by Prophet Muhammad as someone who's not, as someone who has lost completely mercy, just by not holding and kissing. What if he was doing something worse? Now the other hadith, the other riwayah,
قال كان أعرابي عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نفس الشيء. فجاء الحسن حسين فقبله. It seems it's part of his habit صلى الله عليه وسلم. So on a daily basis, anyone of us knows that if you, when you love your kids, you kiss them sometimes tens in daily basis, tens of times. قال فقبله. قال أتقبلون صبيانكم؟ فإن قال والله إن لي عشرة من الولد ما قبلت منهم أحدا طرف. والولد في اللغة العربية يطلق على الذكر والأنثى. He said, do you kiss your kids? By Allah, I have 10 kids, boys and girls. I have never ever kissed any one of them. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من لا يرحم لا يرحم. The one who does not show mercy to others will not be having or receiving mercy in the day of judgment. Just by not kissing him. طب freeze this. Come to the mirror now. What if I'm holding the idea of my responsibility toward my children is just feeding them and bringing them the food and let them do whatever they want. Basically, I'm preparing them, might preparing them to be part of Jahannam. Am I holding responsibility? Am I a thankful person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. This is connected with a very quick hadith. How many of you know Hadith al-Muflis? The Arabs, when I say Hadith al-Muflis, how many of you realized what is the Hadith? Can you raise up your hands? Hadith al-Muflis. Wow, just this from the Arabs? By the way, how many of you understand Arabic? And ask, yes, I have to learn in English. كم واحد فيكم يفهم عربي؟ معلش العرب يرفعوا عليه هم اللي بيفهموا عربي مش اللي بيفهموا عربي تقريبا 60% تقريبا على الاقل طيب very quickly معلش بدي اخر الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان جالسا في صحبة مجموعة من الصحابة this hadith could change your life قال أتدرون من المفلس؟ Do you know who's the bankrupt? قالوا المفلس فينا يا رسول الله من لا درهم عنده ولا متاع. The bankrupt among us, يا رسول الله, is the one who does not have any kind of money or personal properties or belongings. قال المفلس من أمتي. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم now is, in my language, is trying to change the concept inside the system. He's changing the software. المفلس, he was not seeking knowledge from them. He was educating them and changing the concept in their mind. At a drone, do you know? So it's like, you know when you do right click in the mouse, right click, select all, control A. What happens? Highlights. Right click, deletes. Are you with me? At a drone, I'm in Muflis. Al-Muflis fina ya Rasulullah, man la dirham anda wa la mata'a. Highlight, select all. Okay, right click, deletes. المفلس من أمتي, now delete what you know. Now he said, look, from now on, I will give you a new concept. Delete after select all. Now we delete it. What is the new? Now type, print what I will be dedicating. المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وزكاة وصدقة وصيام ويأتي وقد ضرب هذا وشتم هذا وأكل مال هذا وظلم هذا هاي بديها ظلم هذا فيأخذ هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإذا فنيت حسناته أخذ من سيئاتهم ثم ألقيت عليه ثم ألقي في جهنم والله it's one of the most fearful hadith of the sunnah Al-Muflis, the bankrupt, from now on, when you hear the word mfallis, mufless, this is the new concept. Al-Muflis, you know it, is the one who will be coming in the day of judgment, standing before his Lord for the accountability. In his account, he has a lot of fasting, sadaqah, hajj, umrah, a lot of ajr, buts. And problems always come after buts. But, قال يأتي وقد ضرب هذا, he used to use his physical power to do injustice for the people, used to hit the people, you know, bodybuilding. See? Hey, authority, I am, who are you? Arrogance, ضرب هذا, شتم هذا, swearing at, using bad words, insulting, cursing the people, ضرب هذا شتم هذا أكل مال هذا used to take the money of the people using his power political power his tribal power whatever قال وظلم هذا فيأخذ now and he did injustice for this and such قال this person will take from they will take from his حسنات قال if his حسنات his roads are completely finished here comes the disaster now قال أخذ من سيئاتهم Allah or the angels will take from their sins, it will be thrown on him and he will be thrown in the hellfire. We are talking about super Muslim by the way. يأتي بالصلاة والصيام والزكاة والصدقة. We are not talking about bad Muslim. طب you know why I used the hadith? Just for ظلم هذا. Can you imagine what does it mean if I did ظلم for my kids by not educating them and making them close to Allah? My son might come in the day of judgment, he might be standing in my face in the court, divine court, محكمة العدل الإلهي. And he might be saying the following, يا ربي خذ لي حقي من هذا الظالم, me. Oh Allah, give me my right from this ظالم, I am, he's the father. يا ابني, أنا ظالم, how come? I've done everything for you. Yes, daddy, you did everything just in terms of money. You worked 20 hours a day. You were feeding me. You gave me Ferrari, daddy. Yes, right. I was going every year to all kind of beaches, including the bad places, yes. But you've never ever, my daddy, told me, come with me to the masjid. Daddy, you spent thousands of tens of thousands to teach me music, riding horses, sports. Jet skiing, which I'm not saying haram. All of them are mubah. Okay, don't misunderstand me, Sheikh. No. All of them are halal. No problem. But what? But what about Allah? What about Quran? What about Arabic? What about religion? What about my heart? You fed my body. But what about my heart? What is the value of this in your head? If I did not do this for my kid, I might be committing injustice. ظلمة, my daughter might come, might imagine my daughter coming to me, Ya Allah خذي حق من الظالم. أنا ظالم يا wait. You gave me everything. You fed me, you okay. But you never ever you said it's your right to decide to wear the hijab, my dear daughter. You know our Syrian brothers, they have a very nice proverb. They say Darsani bil Ba'la. You know this? You know Darsani bil Ba'la? Which means you know. Darsani. You know Allah, I don't know how to translate it. يعني بطلع لها حلوة بصيرش تتحجبنا حرام ربي خلقت الجمال وقلت التقوى يعني خليها بدوش يزعلها He does not want to hurt her feet يا عمي مشان الله what is your role? It's my problem Where is being thankful towards the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and holding the responsibility You have to plant the seeds of loving Allah and respecting Allah. But see, Sheikh, I asked her to wear the hijab. When did you ask her, Mr. X? Wallahi, when she wasn't that tall. Hasbi Allah alayk. Hasbi Allah alayk if I did this. So let's go, please. Islamic school like this is just playing the role of continuing your best role. Parents, please, home, is the most important place and number one place of raising, planting the seeds, fixing the concept of being close from Allah. Because, please, I beg your pardon. From my experience, I was a teacher at schools and then professor in the university. I saw an Islamic school back in Jordan and in different places. Many parents, once they have sent their children to Islamic school, خلاص الحمد لله it's the job of a brother Naneem and sister X to make them Abu Bakr and Umar it's not my turn yeah Allah you know I've done my best I'm paying them the fees and that's it no they are just continuing maybe the last 10 or 5% of the most important 90% of yours at home please don't miss this concept Here they help you. Plus, you find out, even you at home, plus school, any Islamic school, جزاهم الله خيرا, all together, don't forget the neighborhood and the environment and the friends and every other thing else. Please, please don't let ad-dunya be your priority. Work to satisfy your needs in a good way, but your priority, and I was writing here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال نحن نرزقهم وإياكم. In another verse, نحن نرزقكم وإياهم, which means there is a rizq for you and for them. Don't waste your time. But what did he say? قوة أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا, which means do your best, خذ بالأسباب to bring the rizq, the physical rizq, but be sure that Allah is helping in that. But the thing that Allah will not interfere and it's completely your job is preparing them to be close from Allah. Taqabbalallahu minkum. Be careful of your kids. Jazakumullah khair, all of you, those who work in such Islamic schools, the wonderful parents who are doing their best, inshallah, to prepare this generation to convey the message of Islam. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah khair, Dr. Amjad Khurshid, for the speech and for joining us today for tonight's event.